This is the GNSO working session in Constellation Room. Today's date is October 12, 2014. This first session will run from 9 to 10 a.m. local time, and it is the GDD update.
Traumatized. Could you please prepare to start the meeting in 1 minute? If I could just go and get your attention, get all council. If we could prepare to start the meeting, the morning session, in 1 minute. Thank you.
I'm
right. Good morning, everyone. Can I call the session to order? Can I have your attention? And if you want to continue conversations, if you could continue them outside the room so that we can get this morning's meeting going, please. Shh. Thank you very much. Good morning and welcome to the second of the weekend sessions of the GNSO, the working sessions on Sunday, 12th of October here in LA. Just to remind you all, please, if and when you do speak, and anyone in the room is welcome to speak, either at the microphones around the horseshoe here or at the microphone at the front of the table, please do announce yourself, your name, before you speak for the transcription purposes. We've got a pretty busy schedule this morning. We're starting off with a meeting with our colleagues from the Generic Domains Division. The Global. Oh, my goodness. The newly renamed the soon-to-be further renamed Global Domain Division. Akram, Cyrus, Christine, and Karen. I'm sure you may well know some or all of them already. This is an opportunity to ask questions and discuss things, I know they would like it to be as interactive as possible. We've got a couple of topics we can deal with. Akram, I don't know if you'd like to make any opening remarks first, and then we can see where we go with picking up on a couple of the topics.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you all for attending the meeting, and welcome to LA, our hometown. So it's really nice to not be jet lagged for once in an ICANN meeting. I think that it's very important to talk a little bit about where we are in the Global Domains Division, and we've set out to do to change our structure and how we engage with our customers and how do we implement all of the policies that come our way. And I think we are well on our way to get to the finish line. We've made a lot of progress in the last few months. I think on the registry side, we were able now to move what used to be the team that did everything for the registries to become more relationship management focused and services focused to the registries. We've assigned account manager to every registry now, so you have a point as a registry. You have a point of escalation. So anytime that there is any issue, you have a name that you can call, you can talk to, you can work with to resolve your issues. We've also moved forward on the registrar side. We have now registrar relationship managers in every time zone. We haven't assigned the accounts yet, but that's that will be happening shortly, both in Istanbul and in Singapore. We've also moved all of the work that used to be done by those teams to the operational team. We're putting in place already a layer of customer support. We're putting the tools together. So I think things are coming around. It's a major transformation of how we do business, but I think we're making a very good progress on that front. We are also we've added a CTO with David Conrad. He's focusing on the identifiers, on the internet identifiers, and making sure that we are on top of things. Our chief security officer is now more focused on security issues and outreach, while our CTO is focused on the technology and the transition and all of these things that need to happen. So I think overall, the Global Domains Division is now more complete. It's more focused on its work, and it's making a lot of progress. And I'm hoping to see your feedback on both the tools, the relationship management approach, all of these things that we are putting in place. And, of course, it's a continuous improvement, but I think we've made great stride in the right direction. So with that, I would like to give it back to Jonathan to start on the topics, and then we hopefully have enough time for Q&A. Thanks.
Thanks, Akram. So the kind of topics we had talked about was an update on the policy implementation work. Obviously, the council is focused on management of policy within the GNSO, so some form of update on policy implementation work going on within the Global Domains Division. There was a topic that I had flagged with the team here, and which happened to come up in our discussions yesterday, and that was the interrelationship between the work of the consultation group the discussion group on new GTLDs and the staff work that's going on in related staff work on appraising the new GTLD program. So I think Karen's probably prepared to say a few words about that and discuss that. We have a separate session later on name collision, so I suggest that's scheduled for 12 o'clock. So I suggest we probably don't need to go into that. And I know, Cyrus, you had asked to get some update on the sort of focus and what's coming down the tracks from the GNSO. But so we could go into the policy implementation work unless Cyrus or Christine or Karen, any of you want to make any other follow-on remarks from what Akram said. Okay, great. So let's go on to the current sort of policy implementation work and an update on that. And just to remind you, everyone here, that anyone is welcome to contribute both in the form of either input or questions at any time. These are the GNSO working sessions. This is the Global Domains Division, and any form of interaction is welcome. Thanks.
Hi, this is Caitlin Tubergen from ICANN staff with an update on GNSO policy implementation. For IRTP Working Group B, Recommendation 8, which is the standardization and clarification of WHOIS status messages, this was incorporated into the additional WHOIS information policy, or the AWIP, and it was announced after ICANN 50. It will be effective for all registries and registrars February 15th, 2015. IRTP Recommendation 9, new provision for locking and unlocking of domain names, was announced in July and will be effective for all registrars January 31st, 2015. IRTP Working Group C, Recommendation 1, the change of registrant policy. Draft policy language has been distributed and reviewed by the implementation review team. The draft is expected to go through public comment before ICANN 52. Recommendation 2, which is the time limiting of FOAs. The draft text has been reviewed by the implementation review team, and that updated text will be included in the updated IRTP when it goes out for public comment with Recommendation 1. UDRP Locking Working Group. The updated UDRP rules went out for public comment. The comments have been incorporated, and the updated UDRP language has been approved by the implementation review team. An announcement will go out within the coming weeks, and all ICANN-accredited registrars will be required to comply with the updated UDRP rules by July 31st, 2015. For Thick WHOIS, the conclusions of the legal review from Recommendation 3 are expected to be available in November. The current implementation plan will be revised in order to provide for more input by relevant experts, the working group recommendation to convene a team of experts from affected parties, as well as provide an opportunity for delivering on outcomes sequentially and potentially sooner. This will be done by proposing the decoupling recommended by the working group of two parts of the main recommendation, transition from thin to thick WHOIS, and the display of output. There will be a thick WHOIS implementation working session on Thursday at 8:30 in Constellation. For IGO-INGO, the final draft for the use cases for TMCH claims has been completed and is pending internal review. Reconciliation of the Spec 5 reserved names pertaining to IGO-INGO names is ongoing. The team is looking at the swim lane diagrams for the TMCH claims, which will be carried out in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so that's great to get that summary. I have a question immediately. Does that information come out in that sort of form anywhere else? I mean, is that digest like that? Do you guys do some sort of reporting about current implementation activity, or Is that James? Go ahead.
I was going to ask a similar question. It would be really great, because I was typing as furiously as I could, but it would be really great if there were, and I know we've talked about this, and I know there's been a lot of progress on this, but if there were a calendar somewhere that you could go to, and you could see when these dates are occurring. For example, I noted that the first two items you discussed, one is going to take effect February 15th, and one is going to take effect January 31st. Operationally, it would be great if we had things hitting as close as possible to the same date. So, you know, it's easier to explain to our team that by, you know, February 28th, the end of February, we have to have these eight things done instead of something happening every week between now and then. So, you know, I think if we can get these all centralized someplace where we can just take a look, what's coming next, what do we have to sprint towards, and then getting those dates consolidated to as few deadlines as possible, those two things would be great.
Cyrus.
Thank you, James. In fact, this morning when I was reviewing my notes for my day and my session here, I did write down that James is going to ask for that policy implementation calendar, which I promised to him back in London. So I apologize for us being delinquent. We are working on that, and I commit to you to actually have that in one form, on a calendar form, which will help you and help us, actually, in terms of planning. So point well taken. We'll take that as an action item.
I apologize for being so predictable.
Yeah. Don't go doing something unpredictable now. Karen.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Karen Lentz. I also wanted to add to what Cyrus said about the work that is ongoing in terms of kind of a comprehensive view of all of the implementation work that's going on. We've been seeking to document a lot of the work and our practices around the stages we go through when we inherit a policy to be implemented, and all of the progress we make and how we report on it. We've actually discussed that some of that documentation with the Policy and Implementation Working Group, excuse me, which I think have been really positive discussions. But part of our part of our effort is, you know, to create more transparency around what the status of the work is that's ongoing. So our one of the things that we envision is something like exists in the policy space where there's a diagram and you can tell exactly what phase something is in, all of the policy activities that are underway. So that is an outcome that we envision. And then something that we have also been folding into that is discussion of a calendar, or how you can synchronize things together to minimize the stream of changes, which has gone through a few iterations. So as Sarah said, that is in progress as well. Thanks.
Thanks. Any other comments or questions relating to that? I mean, in absent that calendar, it may even be helpful just to get a written summary of that, so that we can have that and come to the council, then we can send it out to our groups. Any other questions or comments? So I think then that makes sense to move on to the topic that we talked about with on the relationship between the work of the discussion group and the staff work on the reviewing the outcomes of the new GTLD program. I should say, for you guys' information, this came up as a discussion item yesterday, and there was also input on the fact that there's the work going on in the policy and implementation working group as well. And so the discussion really centered around effective coordination and making sure that there was a sort of joined up thinking in the way in which those different areas work, because there is some risk that we're sort of operating in three different silos, if you like. And so that's really, I guess, was my thinking in advance of this meeting, and it certainly seemed to come out yesterday in the discussion. I think this is a step down that route. So, Karen, if you've got some input or thoughts on that would be great to hear, and then we can take it from there.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Karen Lentz speaking. So we've also been thinking about the potential interaction between the work that's going on within the GNSO to discuss work going forward and how we might best collaborate on that. So I guess, you know, we really intended to have a discussion. I found the discussion yesterday very interesting. But I wanted to, I guess, pose a couple of questions that we have. One is, and this was touched on some yesterday, the output of the, you know, discussion group will be, and there was some description of bucketing things in terms of policy issues or implementation questions or issues, maybe things where there is no policy but there should be. You know, how do you categorize that? So, you know, understanding what the output will look like in terms of those things, I think, would help us to plan at a more concrete level in terms of timing and activities. Secondly, one of the questions we had, we have been following the work of the discussion group, and there's the mind map of 75 or 80 things that have been brought up. So one of the questions that we had was whether you wanted our input on, you know, things that from the staff side might be considered to be a topic of possible policy work.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Okay. And then, you know, one other thought that we had is, in terms of the output, is it would actually also be helpful to know what shouldn't change, what should we not work on, what, you know, worked well, or what, you know, it was in line with what was expected. So I think that's a few initial questions to start with. I'll turn it back to you.
Any other comments or input, Brett? I mean, you might as well get that on the record. That
I think we do. And it's probably very appropriate timing right now. I think what we're trying to do with the discussion group here in Los Angeles is sort of pivot from issue collection to now thinking about how we're going to manage this thing. We've spent the last 2 months trying to gather all the issues that people had, and now we want to start the harder work, I think, of identifying what's policy, what's implementation. So this is the right time, and we really would welcome your input.
I know we discussed this a little bit yesterday, which is what stimulated the point. So I mean, to some extent, we've covered this ground, but is there anyone in the hall or in the meeting at the moment who would like to make any comments and make sure that any issues are? I mean, my understanding is the group has been, as you say, Brett, collecting all of the issues at this point, and I think having that dialogue with staff. I mean, I'm a bit sick of the use of the word dialogue. It seems to appear too much, but having that sort of conversation, that ongoing conversation with staff, is probably very, very useful in terms of understanding and keeping it open rather than operating in two parallel tracks. Has anyone got any other comments or input they'd like to make into this area at this stage? I mean, certainly, Karen, I wouldn't mind if you'd, again, just so we capture it properly, if you'd send us those questions or any thoughts you've got, and we can distribute that to the council and start to feed it into the work of Brett's group and so on.
Certainly, we can do that. Thank you.
Go ahead, Akram.
This is Akram. So basically right now I think it's important for us to participate in the session that Karen will be leading on the next round, and so that you can see all the planning that's going on. There is a big operational review within the staff that we're going to be doing also on every piece, and from that hopefully there'll be some recommendations. I don't know if they will rise to policy level, but there'll be some recommendations from that as well. And there are a lot of other streams that might come back with recommendations, and these recommendations might actually touch on a policy. So I don't know that we can right now say that if we deliver some questions or some concerns, that we can say now you have everything you need to look at the policy framework. Because if the the reviews come back in a year from now or more with some input or some recommendations, these recommendations could impact the policy. So so we need to be a little bit flexible on how we move forward, but we should try to figure out how to keep moving forward in lockstep. I know that basically the board on collisions, for example, made a request from GNSO to look into the possibility of policy development in the area, and we followed up with a statement that was sent to the GNSO on that. That might be also another way that the board will approach these issues, or they might approach it in a list also from them on the, especially the NGPC, if they review what they worked on and stuff. That could be another avenue for input to policy work as well.
So that name collision, I think it's the, in terms of a request is new to us. It's very recent, and so that's now on the council agenda, on the formal council agenda for Wednesday. Although it's at this point, it's an initial discussion. I'm not even sure that council has had enough time to sort of digest that and read through what's been proposed. Any other comments or questions on this work? I mean, it does feel to me like there's a number of parallel areas, and coordinating that, it makes sense almost to have not necessarily this, but a more functional, smaller meeting to understand the relationship between what's going on in consultation group, what the board might be doing, what staff is doing on this, the reviews, just somehow making sure these are, as you say, in lockstep or at least coordinated. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. Steve Metalitz with the Intellectual Property Constituency. Jonathan, is this the right time to ask questions about the new GTLD review draft work plan that the GDD published?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's more or less what we're talking about, Steve. It's any review work that's going on, any prospective planning work for subsequent rounds and so on.
Okay, thank you. Then I'd like to ask, as having reviewed, first of all, thank you for publishing that draft work plan, because I think it lays out a lot of different streams that will be ongoing, help to define our work plan for the next year or two. But I didn't see any mention in there of the public interest commitments in the new GTLD registry agreements. I'm wondering why that was omitted. Is there a plan to review those and to feed in that review into the overall review?
Thank you, Steve. So if you look at the review streams, they're not necessarily dedicated to areas of the program, unless if they were planned ahead of time or requested ahead of time, which means in the we have a review stream that talks about all of the TMCH and all of the RPM mechanisms. That was already requested to be reviewed in the program ahead of time, and so it has its own stream. But if you look at the GNSO stream, for example, GNSO could look at anything they see, and they could say any, you know, this one we're going to review and look if there is policy involved in it or not. I think the review team could look at those as well. So there, it's not particularly in any one place. We continuously review these things, and from the staff perspective, we would look at better ways to implement things as well all the time. And if there is anything that we come up with, we will actually bring it back to the community to look at and see if there is a way to a better way to move forward on that. But I mean, we could do that if this is a request. We could put it as a stream to look at the PICs as well. It's not an issue.
Okay, I wasn't sure whether it was an intentional omission or you're just waiting to hear where we would want to see that reviewed. It sounds like the latter. Let me ask another question related to that. Another word I didn't see in that document was compliance. At what point will the review process look at the compliance effort with the new GTLD program?
Again, I don't think that that was one of the streams we were looking at, but we will take that into consideration and we'll get back to you on that. I think that the compliance is probably more something outside of the Global Domains Division's purview to look at. Maybe if there is a suggestion on who should be, it's work that the community could take on anytime they want to see if they, and we will support it. So,
So are you taking comments on this draft work plan? It's not up for public comment, so I just wondered how
So there is a session on that, and we're going to gather the comments from the session and to come back with the new adjustments to the work plan.
But there's no public comment period on the work plan. Okay, thank you.
There is?
There wasn't a public comment, formal public comment period open on it. It was published for discussion and feedback, but there hasn't been a formal public comment period.
But presumably, if we have other thoughts on it that may not occur to us when we're standing at a microphone in a 60-minute session tomorrow, we can send them to you and you will consider those.
Can I add some?
Hi, Steve. This is Cyrus Namazi. So just wanted to echo, I guess, what we were trying to say. And that's the fact that what's been published is really a proposed template, a blueprint for how to go forward. By no means are we suggesting that it's complete. In fact, we are looking forward to getting input and feedback from not only the council, but the entire community on how to make it better. In regards to your specific comments on the PICs and the compliance-related issues, I'd be very interested to understand what specifically is your concern. We can take that offline or whatever, but you should always feel free to let us know how we can make things better. What we put out there as a proposal is really just a draft proposal, and we're hoping to make it 10 times better from your inputs.
Thank you.
Can I just try and clarify something just to make sure? Maybe you're going to say this, respond in a similar way, Karen, because what I understand is there were certain review mechanisms baked into the GTLD program. That is what the staff plan has responded to, in a sense, mandatory reviews. That the PICs came to the party later. The fact that they may need reviewing, it's an interesting point, Steve. I get it, but they weren't sort of baked in at the outset, which is, I think, what you guys were saying. So the question is, for all of us, actually, when and how does the satisfactory performance or otherwise of the PICs get reviewed, since the reviewing of that wasn't baked into the program? Was that where you were coming from, Karen, more or less?
Yes, a little bit. Thank you. This is Karen Lentz. I just wanted to add one point too. On the specific topic, the PICs and compliance related issues are in some way part of the registry agreement, which was a topic of policy advice, which could be part of the program implementation review that staff does. That there's recommendations coming out of that. So there are a lot of topics that aren't specifically called out in the work plan, but that doesn't mean that they're off the table to be discussed. It just means that there's not a specifically named review on that particular topic. So thanks.
Any other comments or questions related to this? Okay, so maybe it's... go ahead, Maria.
Hi, it's Maria. I think it might be useful for the rest of the community if you did receive lots of comments and feedback. I don't know what the threshold is, but if they were to be shared in the public domain, if that were possible, if changes are being made, just to help us track and understand what's happening. Thanks.
Okay, so I think it's perhaps time we switch then to the question from Global Domains as to what's coming down the tracks for the GNSO. And I think Marika, you've got something for us here that'd be useful.
Thank you. So this really highlights, I actually think this is very usefully illustrative slide, a sort of Gantt chart type set of, it wasn't entirely designed as a slide, it's more of a PDF that Marika's prepared about how, the various pieces of active work that are going on. So one of them, which we got into quite a decent discussion about yesterday, was translation and transliteration of contact information, and you can see how it's highlighted there on the timetable how that particular piece of work is likely to go, and where that's coming. So that we can share this with you properly, obviously, afterwards, and give you a sense. Was this the sort of thing you had in mind, Cyrus? It's kind of saying that, yeah. Exactly. So let's whip through them and see then, first of all. So there's a series like this, and we can give this to you in PDF form. So the current pieces of work, which, by the way, that's what we go through all day on a Saturday. I mean, so the format of our Saturday meetings is reports from the working groups. And it's interesting. I mean, you sometimes come into them thinking that these are going to be purely functional reports, and they kick off all sorts of discussion, and other times they go without much... at all, and in the case of translation transliteration, that did spurn rather a lot of discussion yesterday. There's also the work on the curative rights protections for the IGO and INGO names, and the potential implementation of the UDRP or URS mechanisms, and that's a relatively recently initiated PDP. But again, you can see the likely timescales for that. We can move over to the next slide. And IRTP Part D, it's the final piece of the jigsaw as far as the IRTP work, and that's coming up for a council vote at this meeting. So we expect to deliver that to the board immediately after this, and that should close off that work stream. Go ahead, James.
Just a note that these are ending, and maybe you mentioned this already, these are ending at board vote, but then there's an implementation swim lane following that. So I'm wondering when some of these, if for example, you assume that the board vote happens as is indicated here, then when could be a reasonable expectation for an implementation based on, you know, is it two quarters out or?
So go ahead.
So maybe, look, I don't think we should dictate the implementation. I think we need to talk to the community that's going to implement this and get some feedback on that. And maybe you can help us set some targets for implementation, and we can update this with that information so everybody is aware ahead of time on what's coming also on work, the work schedule also. So.
And then, sorry, Jonathan, if I could make a second comment on the next line. Or do you want me to wait until the privacy proxy?
Did you have something specifically on this, or what should we...
Yeah, it doesn't record, just on you know, the background to this document, and I actually need to give Steve Chan credit for developing this document, it wasn't me. But the idea behind this is partly, and it's something we have already shared as well with our colleagues, and that's maybe why as well you don't see implementation on there now, but the idea is that we are able to give our colleagues a heads up, both in the GDD team, but also in the board support team, for when they may see certain items coming their way. And of course, you don't see the disclaimers here on the top. Now, this is drawn, of course, from the working group's work plans, and this is not set in stone, but maybe something we can discuss with our colleagues as well, that based on the estimates we currently have for implementation, that we could even add, anticipating a board vote, for example, Q1 2015, if that would happen, what the standard or normal kind of time frame may be for implementation, noting again that, of course, not every implementation process will be the same. Some will be quicker than others, but at least that would give a kind of indication on when certain things may hit or work may occur. So just want to give that bit of background on where this document comes from, and the idea would be that we basically update that every... like trimester or before an ICANN meeting. So again, we share that with our colleagues so they know as well how to plan for certain items that will eventually move into that direction.
I must say, my remark from me is that I mean, immediately I saw this. It really struck me that it's crystal clear what's going on. And it would be great to think that we were planning the implementation ahead of it rather than a kind of, you know, dropping the baton in the relay race. So I suspect that's part of the purpose for your question. So that is, which is great. And so that feels like. But the other thing that strikes me, and that is a question for all of us, is one of the things we're supposed to be doing is thinking about implementation while we work on the policy. So it's rather than as a kind of afterthought. So I think that's clearly there's the work on the policy implementation working group, but I think it's incumbent on us to work together effectively and be thinking about that again, so we aren't passing a baton and saying, right, here you go. GDD implement. It would be great to, and I don't have the idea yet how we do that, but, you know, so any thoughts or comments on that? But James, I know you wanted to say something as well on...
You know, it's probably less relevant now, but it's just the idea that the second line there, the privacy proxy accreditation issues, is not going to end with a board vote and an implementation. That's a whole new program and a whole new framework that needs to be stood up with applications for accreditation and evaluations of those applications. So that's going to be a big, big effort right after that orange sunburst there. So, but you already know that. I just was commenting on that.
Marika?
Yeah, and this is Marika. Regarding your comment on thinking about implementation as we do policy development, I think, you know, many of you may have already seen as well that in many of the working group meetings we actually now have as well GDD colleagues already participating. And the whole idea around that is that they're able already to either provide input on implementation-related issues as we go through the policy conversations, but also already to anticipate, you know, what is coming down the tracks, you know, being part of those conversations. So I think we're at least trying to, you know, find as well a system to ensure that's more smooth and we have implementation input early on, and at the same time, you know, for example, we also participate in the implementation activities, so we also can provide input from, you know, our recollection or experience of the policy conversation. So
Limerica, I think, and others, I think we should try and capture that and make that sort of known and understood. And obviously, it's work in progress. But it's one of those things where, for example, as the GNSO policy making function, I have quite often highlighted our intentions to enhance and streamline the policy development process. But if we then had a big gap at the end of it and or, you know, some form of flawed implementation, we can do all the work we like at the front. But it sounds like we're not doing that. It sounds like we actually are working hard to try and ensure that, you know, we're bringing you closer into the front end and starting to work that through. So I think we should not only continue to work on that, but make it be known that that's what we're doing, because I'm not sure that is widely known. So it certainly feels like news to me. So that's encouraging. Any other comments or questions in relation to this? Is there another sheet to this, Steve? Or is that's the last part of it? It's just the three are there at the moment. So you've got IRTP Part D, RAA on privacy and proxy. Any other comments or questions that anyone would like to make in and around policy implementation work of the GDD? Steve?
Thank you. Steve Metalitz, member of the intellectual property constituency. I hope this is the appropriate place to ask this. Have the PIC DRP panelists been chosen, and if so, who are they?
Thank you, Steve. This is Cyrus. Yes, we have three panelists that have been chosen. We have signed contracts with them. We are in discussions with two additional ones, but the three is the minimum that we need. I don't have their contact information or names and stuff, but I can get that to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I have a question that goes back to the beginning of your presentation, Cyrus, where you described the progress you've made in developing a responsive account representative approach to deal with the contracted parties in the new GTLDs. That'd be a good way to describe that, sort of account managers with dedicated points of contact for the GTLD applicants?
Yeah. Yes. Hi, Marion. Yes, actually, the account management setup that we've put in place is both for contracted parties as well as applicants. So Essentially everyone who is a registry operator or is going to be a registry operator has now been assigned an account manager under the leadership of Krista Papak on my team.
Okay, so let me introduce myself to the ICANN staff as a customer of ICANN's, since I'm a domain name registrant and potentially a user of services that ICANN provides, such as the Trademark Clearinghouse and the URS. Are you planning on creating the similar friendly approach to support those parties who also use those kinds of services from ICANN? So we too will have an interface like account management teams?
So typically what you're mentioning, Marilyn, is actually service managers. So there is a difference between the two, which means when you have a service that you provide a service manager that you can talk about the service with. When you have a customer, they touch a lot of different services and they have issues and they want to be able to escalate because some of the work is not happening for them or they're having struggles in some of the work that they're doing, then you assign account managers. Now, let's be clear, we're not assigning an account manager for every, a different account manager for every registry applicant or registry contracted party. We're assigning a account manager to a set of these registries, and we're hoping that this will be more escalation path for issues that they have, and not to do the work for them, right? So there is a difference between the two. We have now, we are anticipating 1,300 registries, so we cannot afford to have one per.
I wasn't expecting that to be one.
So we do have service managers that have services, manage different services, and we also have a layer of customer support that you can actually go to when you have an issue, whether it's a it's an issue on a service as a user of the TMCH or other areas, and then you have the subject matter experts also in the operational flow, where an issue, if it doesn't get resolved at that level, it can go to the subject matter experts. So we're working on more and more of this points of contact and better ways for you to reach out into the organization and get your stuff done. It just takes some time, but we're on that path.
So I ran a franchise business for a global corporation in a particular area, so I'm very familiar with service managers, account managers, etc. So treating us as customers of ICANN as well, that is part of your mindset.
Absolutely, and we talked about having restaurant services group also that is separate from the contracted parties. We have some plans there as well. Now, we don't know how much work they're going to have, but we're going to start by hiring maybe one person and see how much requests they have, how much work they can they need to do. But we see that basically today, for example, and I give this example to everybody because it came from the community, the URS has, or the UDRP, shows a lot of people how to go and complain about a website or a website owner and be able to figure out how to take it away. But we don't have the same thing for the restaurant that says, well, this is how you deal with when you have a UDRP and what you, the steps that you need to do and stuff. So it's service on the other side, and we're trying to figure out how to present that to the community as well. So,
thank you. I welcome hearing more.
Sorry, who's sorry, James.
So just a quick question, maybe for clarification, because I was multitasking. Did you say that ICANN was going to establish some channel of sort of support resources to support registrants directly, or did I mishear that?
No, so we're not supporting restaurants directly, but there are things that we do that affect restaurants, and we want to make sure that they have a place where they can get answers and explanations on what we do and how we do it, and support them to what they come to ask for from ICANN.
Greg Shatton, IPC, just following up on this point. I note that about 5 or 6 weeks ago, ICANN posted a job opportunity for a registrant services director or consumer advocate services director. I assume that without having yet named that position, this is the position that you're talking about or that is related in some way to what you're talking about. I also note that it's posted that this person is supposed to sit in Istanbul. I'm wondering where how things are going with filling that position, and how that relates to the discussion that you've just been having. Thank you.
So we're actually we have a few resumes. We've been looking at them, and we still haven't made a decision on that. But hopefully, at the beginning of the new year, I think we will have somebody in that position.
And a follow-up, how did you decide that this person had to pick up and live in Istanbul, assuming that the applicants haven't been coming from Istanbul?
Well, we thought that actually out of the three hubs that we have, Istanbul is the one in the middle.
In the middle of what?
between the the three hubs, it's a decision. If we don't find somebody in Istanbul, then we find somebody more appropriate in somewhere else. We'll hire the best person, but we have to always start with where we would like to have that position. So,
thank you.
Okay, so I think that feels like we're at the natural end of the session then. That's thank you very much. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Cyrus Namazi. I just wanted to make a brief remark about, wanted to commend actually the council for having sort of solidified a formal relationship with the GAC. I really think this is going to be an immensely useful, beneficial step forward. And in fact, in a session that we had before the GAC yesterday, I think Mason was there too, the sentiment that I read from the GAC in regards to the next round of GTLDs was quite negative in terms of the timing of it and such. And just wanted to make sure that you're all aware that, you know, that undercurrent is also taking place. And want to make sure that the dialogue within the community also takes place at the level of, say, GNSO with the GAC. I've been saying the same thing to my colleagues in the stakeholder groups, both the registry and registrar. But I get the feeling that a lot of times everybody comes to the staff to do, you know, the stuff that we're supposed to do or things that are initiated by the GAC or some other mechanism. But to have that feedback directly also heard by the GAC and other places where they actually give advice to ICANN board, I think would help us quite a bit in moving things forward.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's helpful that you remind us of that, Cyrus. I mean, essentially, this was a strategic objective of the council, if you like, was to build bridges
to assist in building the bridges between the GNSO and other SO and ACs in the ecosystem, ICANN ecosystem, and that seems to we're making some progress there. That's for sure, Marilyn.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade, and while I'm an officer of the business constituency, I'm conveying my individual viewpoint, Cyrus. I really welcome the recognition of the step forward, the evolution of having representation from the GNSO Policy Council in this position with the GAC. But part of what you said concerned me a little bit. I'm quite aware of the concerns that many of the governments have about the new GTLD program and the concerns that they have about spending time on talking about a next round. But I don't want to overlook the importance. I'm not speaking for the council. I am not speaking for the constituency as a whole. But I don't want to overlook the fact that their strong concern broadly in the business community about the need to complete the round, do the evaluations that were committed, assess the problems, and make sure that registrants are not stranded or GTLD registry failures or missteps are not dealt with before there's any active consideration or resources devoted to a new round. That will not necessarily be a popular viewpoint among many of the of my colleagues, but I don't think it's just the governments who have concern.
Akram would like to respond, and then James wants to make a point.
I just want to make sure we set the record straight. We don't believe that there are any missteps in the new GTLD program, but there are always rooms for improvement, and we agree that we need to do all the reviews that we can and improve on everything that we've done so far. And believe me, the staff is not in any rush to start the next round. So the pressure will come from the community, if any, to do a second round or the next round. Thanks.
Thanks, Akram. James?
So I think that the staff should be in a rush to do the second round because the community, I think, is saying that that was baked into the first round. Now, I understand, to your point and to Marilyn's point, there are items that need to be reviewed. I think that what's at issue is whether that's an end-to-end project management where you cannot proceed with one step until this step is totally complete versus looking for opportunities to parallelize some of those things. For example, a new round of applications, not delegations, just applications could be occurring, and I think that's, you know, I'm throwing this out as one possible example, as something that, and some things that you would want to wait for example, registry failures. I don't want to assume that there are going to be registry failures, so waiting until a certain amount of time that there are no registry failures, I don't think is a reasonable prerequisite for proceeding into the next round. So hopefully you're looking for opportunities to expedite that work plan.
I've got Avery next, and I think we should try and bring this session to a close. Avery.
Thank you. I'm going to take a point slightly contrary to the one just made and support the point that Marilyn made, but perhaps go a little bit stronger. I don't think it's for the staff to decide that there were no missteps in this program. I think we're at a point now where we need to start doing the reviews that happen in the GNSO, the reviews that happen in at-large, the reviews that happen in GAC, the reviews that are mandated by the AOC. And only when we've gotten to the point that we understand that there were no failures or what the failures are and how they should be fixed, at that point and only at that point should we move forward with another round. The notion that we should jump into another round just now because the mechanics are ready to do another round is truly not appropriate. Thanks.
Tony?
I'll make it very brief because you're closing this subject. Getting to what was said about government's concerns, first of all, I do think we need to sort of take it easy on getting going with another round. But I have also heard on the question of the necessity of having another round from governments, for instance, provincial governments in Latin America, that they feel they sort of didn't make it to this round. They've seen city TLDs come out and provincial TLDs or regional, and they're pretty anxious to have a chance to be able to apply also. So maybe we should consider that people who didn't hear about this in time or were not too sure what was happening don't have to wait another 10 or 20 years. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. So it seems like that's a question that needs, I'm not sure where that question belongs, but it's clearly a question that there's some strong feeling about in both directions as to whether these the review work and the prospect of additional rounds can be done in sequence or parallel. And so, as I say, I don't know exactly where that question belongs and where we deal with that, but it certainly seems like something we need to spend a little more time on. So I think let me offer you, Akram, the opportunity to make any closing remarks if you'd like to, and then we'll wrap up the session.
The only thing I would like to say is to thank you all for giving us opportunity to talk to you, and as always, we are here to serve you, and hopefully we will continue to get your feedback in order for us to improve and do our things, you know, do our job better. Please understand that from the staff perspective, on all of these issues, we wait for the lead of the community to let us know, especially in the Global Domains Division, where we're actually just implementing the policies that come out from the GNSO. So from our perspective, it's all of the stuff that we're putting out there is really for the discussion, and then we wait for your lead to decide on how to tell us how to move forward. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you, Akram. Thank you, Cyrus, Christine, and Karen. Let's draw a line under that session and take a minute before we welcome Teresa Swinehart to our next session. Thanks.
How are you? Good.